Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And happy weekend. Welcome to another Focus on Community. I'm Frank Rush. Good to have you along. By the way, if you missed any part of today's program, we have it posted for you right now as a podcast on our website. You can stream it or download it, whatever is most convenient for you. Kyle Hupfer, the chairman of the Indiana Republican Party, joins us today. Kyle, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk a little about the history here. This past election, maybe nationally, didn't work out quite as well as a lot of folks had hoped for the Republican Party. But here in Indiana, you guys had a very good November, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, we continue to think that we can't, you know, pick up any additional seats, but somehow we do. So we, you know, we expanded our reach in the state house, obviously won all statewide. Held on to all of our members of Congress. And, you know, we're now up to the point where we hold 88% of all countywide elected officials are Republicans in the state of Indiana, another high water mark. So it was a very good election for Republicans across Indiana.
Here in Vigo County, the Republican Party did better this past election than it's ever done in recent memory.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, here in Indiana, the Republican Party has really built its own unique brand, that we are the party of purpose, that we, you know, run on solid issues of substance, and then we deliver on those once we're elected. And Hoosiers, I think, have given us a great deal of trust across the state, and, you know, we continue to owe it to them to deliver on the promises we've made, and we'll continue to do that.
This past election was kind of interesting from the standpoint that here in Indiana, obviously known as a very conservative state, the Libertarians made a lot more noise and a better showing than they ever have before. Now, granted, they didn't get enough traction to really do a lot, but they certainly did raise a little bit of a stink. They're noticed now. Does that concern you a little bit?
No, I think, you know, this is a very unique election cycle in a lot of ways for Indiana and the country. You know, being in the midst of a global pandemic, having a lot of tensions increased, there was, you know, as you looked at folks across the state, there was a lot of tension around some of the protection measures that have been put in place to protect Hoosiers in the pandemic. Some folks didn't like that. Heck, I don't like them, but they've been necessary. And I think you saw a little bit of that angst come out in a vote for a Libertarian candidate. And, you know, it remains to be seen whether or not that carries over into the future. But I do think that was a lot of the driver this past November.
Obviously, there's big differences between Republicans and Democrats. But do you see the Libertarians as maybe somebody that you guys can at least kind of smile and get along with and kind of work with if they get any more traction in the future?
Well, we'll deal with that. We'll see where things go. You know, we, as for a long time, agree to work with anyone. You know, if it's a good idea, doesn't matter where it comes from, Republicans will support it. And so we'll just see where that plays out into the future.
You mentioned the protection policies of what raised a little bit of a stink. There's a lot of Republicans in the state house during this legislative session that are kind of wanting to deal back the governor's powers. How do you feel about that? Is that a good idea?
I lost you there for a second.
I just started to say during this legislative session, there's been a fair amount of Republicans that have talked about dialing back the governor's emergency powers. Is that a good idea?
You know, I think, as the governor said, you know, we need to look to the guiding documents of our state, the Constitution. You know, the reality is that in emergency situations, the legislature is not built to deal in real time, accumulate that interest, and act in a very timely manner. And so, you know, we don't know what the future holds. No one does. But I think regardless of what the legislature does or doesn't do, anytime a real emergency happens, the governor's going to have to act. He has that power under the Constitution, regardless of what legislation is passed, to protect Hoosiers, and will continue to do so.
During this legislative session, there's a couple of things that are getting a lot of attention. What do you see as the Republican Party's priorities during this legislative session?
Well, in long session, it always starts with a budget. You know, guaranteeing that we issue another balanced, truly balanced, fiscally conservative budget is always number one in these long sessions, and we're well on track to that. If you actually, our financial picture in Indiana is actually really solid as we sit here today. You know, unemployment has plummeted all the way back down into the low fours. Our tax revenues are exceeding expectations month after month. So as you look across the country and you see a lot of state legislatures coming into session having to look for ways to cut funding to education, cut funding to health care, we're in a position where we're increasing funding to education, looking for ways to increase broadband access to rural communities, which we've, you know, the pandemic has just further highlighted how critical that connectivity is. We're looking for ways to increase our talent, increase our workforce, put dollars into workforce development. And then, of course, extra dollars are going to go to continue to help spur and assist those that have been most harshly hit by the pandemic.
One of the things there's been a lot of push from the other side about, from the Democrat side, is teacher pay. Obviously, everybody wants to pay teachers more, but there's financial constraints as to what we can and can't afford. Where are the priorities for the Republicans when it comes to education?
Well, you know, we just completed an extensive study conducted by a teacher pay commission that has highlighted a lot of different ways to put more dollars to the classroom. I mean, I think you have to always start with, you know, reminding folks that teacher pay is not a legislative issue. The legislature continues to put more and more dollars into education. It's up to local school districts to get that into the pockets of teachers. And we have seen over the last 2 years some significant increases in teacher pay. The other piece that's important to note is in this budget, while we already, K through 12 education is more than 50%, so more than half of our state budget goes to K through 12 education, this budget adds another $350 million to K-12 education. So it's a high priority. But in addition to the legislature doing their part, you know, local residents need to be talking to their school boards and holding them accountable as those new dollars come in to put them into the classroom.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a question that a lot of people are going to ask, and that is, can't this legislature, we understand, you know, that you don't maybe want to put too many chains on the money, but couldn't they write a law for requiring school boards to spend certain dollars for a specific project such as teacher pay?
You know, the legislature, as you know, especially Republicans, are loath to take over local control. And so that's always been a local decision. The other thing that's important in that is that, you know, there is, you know, school districts are apples and oranges, you know, because they are collectively bargained, right? There are unions at the local school district level that bargain. And so, a lot of times these decisions are bargained for in ways that don't always show up in teacher pay. Some places have a lot heavier benefits packages, for instance, and less pay. Some have higher pay, maybe lesser benefits. And so there's a lot of variables to go into it. So it's more complicated, I think, than the legislature just saying, put this money. Now, certainly they have talked to the Superintendents Association, the School Board Association, and said, you know, you need to get more money in. And if you look at these last 2 years, you know, I think it's like 97% of school districts saw a pay increase. And so you're seeing dollars go into teachers' pockets.
One of the big things right now that just passed the House, and I believe it's up next to the Senate, and that is gun permits in Indiana, and doing away with them completely. Good idea?
Well, you won't do away with them, to be clear. I mean, that's not what the bill does. The bill says in Indiana, while you're in Indiana, you would not require a permit if you were otherwise lawfully able to carry, which is a good thing. But folks who have permits and folks into the future will still be able to get them because permits have more than just that purpose. So it's also what allows you to go ahead and get your background checked so that you can buy firearms in real time, not have waiting periods. It's also the way that you get reciprocity to conceal carry in other states. So Licenses won't be done away with. There'll still be an option for Hoosiers to go and get. It just adds an additional manner for those folks who are just in Indiana, not looking to carry outside of the state and aren't worried about that waiting period to go ahead and conceal carry.
Abortion restrictions or the removal of restrictions, another big issue that's going through the state house right now. How do you think that's going to pan out?
Well, I think that, you know, the Republican leadership in Indiana has long said that, you know, they will pass laws up to and including anything that the Supreme Court has found to be lawful. And so I think you'll continue to see that here. We are very supportive for the protection of life from conception forward. And to the extent that the U.S. Supreme Court allows, you'll continue to see protections put in place here, I think.
Republicans here in Indiana obviously kind of, well, let's face it, to put too fine a point, you're running the show. Super majorities in the Senate and the House. How do you feel with here on our part of the state, Illinois sitting right across the state line? Think Indiana's in a pretty good spot?
Yeah, I mean, there's actually been a few signs put up along the border, you know, welcoming folks to Indiana as they move here. And we have seen a lot of in-migration, both of residents and also businesses relocating from Illinois to Indiana all along that border. And I think you'll continue to see that as Indiana is so much stronger financially, such a better position from a cost of living, from a tax standpoint, that you'll continue to see residents and businesses move to Indiana.
Indiana being very Republican and now a Democrat administration in Washington, D.C., what worries you the most?
Boy, there's a lot.
I'll give you a couple of minutes here. Go ahead.
Sure. I think it's important for Republicans across the state and across the country to come together and even though there may be some slight differences amongst us on different issues, that there is unifying message against some of the things that Joe Biden is trying to attempt. I mean, record levels of executive orders already put in place that have, you know, gut protections on our energy security. So, you know, the U.S. had become, you know, self-sufficient in a lot of ways. We've seen gas prices drop, and almost immediately we killed the Keystone Pipeline. He's tried to kill fracking. You know, we are looking at they're looking in Congress to try to increase the minimum wage, which has been shown in study after study to only hurt those that they claim to try to protect, those folks who are earning in that pay range. You know, they're looking to, we just had an election that had some significant, concerns about, voter integrity, and going forward, that's going to continue to be a focus for the Republican Party to increase voter integrity. They have a bill in Congress that would basically gut states' abilities to protect elections. So, you know, you're just going to see bill after bill after bill, that are not going to be very, appetizing to Hoosiers and how we view the world.
One of the things about it, in Republicans in Indiana, very popular and had a really good election season this past time around. Nationally, obviously, Republicans lost the White House. So hindsight being 2020, how did that happen and how do you keep it from happening and turn that around in the future?
Well, I think there's a lot of variables to it. Again, I think that we were in a unique time period with COVID. I think COVID became the issue. You know, it's the first time in modern kind of polling history that you've had a president who was running for re-election, who had a significant difference in view from the American people on strength of the economy, who would be better for the economy. The President Trump was vastly superior in that to lose. And so I think you look to, you know, you look to COVID as one of the key factors. But additionally, you know, we've got to continue to sell our message. You know, it's important that we continue to grow our party, grow the tent, add members, and never slow down, which is what we've done in Indiana. We've never taken our foot off the gas. We've continued to expand our electorate base rather than contract it. And that's what we need to do nationally as well.
Kyle Huffer's the chairman of the Indiana Republican Party. We thank him for being with us today. And if you missed any part of today's show, it's posted right now on our website as a podcast. Download it or stream it. And you, if you missed any part of it, you can listen to it back. And again, Kyle Huffer, thanks for being with us today. That's it for this week's show. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.